Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 19th of October, recording at 6:56 p.m. British Summer Time. Still British Summer Time. Doesn't feel like it, though. Well, in the comment of the day, I did have a brief section which said, tonight's audio topics will include stock market prospects for the remainder of this year, and what will be the big influence on commodities, oil, the dollar, or China. Well, let me start with the second question, or the second issue, which is the big influence on commodities. And the answer is that it's really all three, but oil's the least important in terms of the other commodity markets here, because it's part of a group. But recently, the oil market has gathered so much media attention, quite understandably, as prices move to the highest levels we've seen for many years, at least in nominal terms, that it's galvanized everyone's attention. And we've seen not only stock markets moving in a knee-jerk fashion conversely to what the oil price is actually doing, but we've seen commodity markets responding very quickly to any changes in the oil price. Now, I think that that influence will wane. Well, it will certainly wane as the oil price eventually goes into a more protracted corrective phase within this secular bull market. And my feeling is that as far as gold is concerned, silver, the industrial metals, and the agricultural commodities, that the dollar and China will be the really big influences going forward. I should say China, India, and all the other countries that are consuming so many commodities. Now, how will this actually work? In terms of the industrial commodities, I think the dollar is certainly crucial. Now, all commodities that I quote, at any rate, and not all commodities, but most commodities are, and certainly the ones that are quoted in London and the ones that are quoted in the U.S. markets are quoted in U.S. dollars. So the greenback swings will have a big influence on sentiment generally. Currently, the dollar is weakening. We have it weakening against the euro, it's weakening against the yen, it's weakening pretty well across the boards. That's been in the last few days. Remember, we've been in very, very tight trading ranges for some time, but no more. The dollar is weakening. It does look like a tradable move, although I haven't traded it myself. I'm playing it through other markets, mainly the commodities, although Owen, as you may recall, did buy the euro against the U.S. dollar just after it had broken above that resistance in the low 124 region. Now, China. I think the China influence will be huge, not only in the industrial commodities, but also in the foods. Recently, we've seen very little Chinese influence in the foods. But bear in mind now that they had big run-ups earlier in the year when China was a voracious buyer of grains, for instance. And then they stepped out of the market and as prices came crashing back down, and then they were driven lower by bumper crops coming out of the United States. So corn, wheat, soybeans, coffee, oats, these really are cotton, these really are dirt cheap, and I think it's only a matter of time, and I don't think all that much time before China comes back in and starts buying aggressively, because it will certainly need the food, and I imagine it will also need the cotton. So these, as I say, are exceptionally depressed markets. They are the real bargains in the commodity world today, but of course, because they are very depressed, they're generally overlooked at this stage. And as you know, that when one is bottom fishing in markets, that it really does require some patience, and markets can go on and drift a little bit further, then people get discouraged over the course of what is not very much time in the life cycle of these big trends, but it seems like an eternity if you're on the wrong side of a position that is drifting lower. I find myself in that category here right now, and I'm just waiting, just thinking about when I should actually increase some of these positions, because I do like playing the buy low, sell high game, and I don't mind anticipating. I mean, I'd rather time it more precisely, but that's not always easy. And I am very much in accumulation mode down here at these levels, as you know. Well, now let's go to the question of the stock market prospects for the remainder of the year. Now, here, unlike the commodities, I think that oil really is the big factor for the same reasons. Everyone is watching what's happening to the price. And as I said at the beginning of this broadcast, that we've seen stock markets moving in the opposite direction to whatever happens with the oil price. And true to form, last night we had that small downside key day reversal in the oil price that I talked about and illustrated, and that led to some pretty reasonable rallies throughout the Asian stock markets. And Europe came on gangbusters here today, gave up a bit of those gains as Wall Street went from the plus side to the minus side, where it is currently right now, because oil having dropped down to 52.59, and it was the low of the day. It was against a close at 53.67 yesterday, is currently at 53.20, down some 47 cents. Now, I think that, again, it's still a decline, so why is the stock market down? But I think that people do remember that last Tuesday, when we had, or the day after, I think last Wednesday, the day after the other small key day reversal in the oil price, that we had an early sell-off of, I think, just over a dollar, and then the price of crude oil came roaring back later in the day and closed with a substantial gain. So in other words, we'd had no downside follow-through. Now, we've seen a partial recovery in here today, but not prices roaring higher, as I say, we saw last Wednesday. So if we close with a reasonably substantial decline in here today, and by that I mean over half the decline that has occurred today, and that's not quite the case as I speak, that would, I think, certainly persuade a lot of people that we were seeing the downside follow through, that the correction had what was actually underway and was going to carry further. Now, I think the odds are slightly in favor of that outcome. You know, I've been saying that we've been seeing these warning signs, that my feeling that oil, if it hadn't peaked, was very close to a peak, and the evidence that we've seen in the last couple of days has increased that possibility. Now, I have been saying for weeks in these audios that as long as that oil price was moving up, the stock market rally that we saw, that good rally that began in the middle of August, was history. It just would not be able to continue. It was just a matter of which markets would weaken the most, and the ones that would do least badly would, not surprisingly, be oil exporting countries, stock markets from Russia to Indonesia. Now, if that oil price does sag back, and I think it's got to sag back enough to convince people that we've reached a peak of at least near-term significance, and that would perhaps cause them to extrapolate that maybe this peak was going to last a bit further than that, a bit, be a more substantial correction, it would really have to, oil would really have to go back below $53 for that. Now, if that were to happen, I think that would probably be the single biggest influence on stock markets between now and the end of the year. Now, that wouldn't guarantee that they would spring really strong rallies, but it would remove what is by far, and there are no guarantees, but it would remove by far what has been the biggest headwind for global stock markets recently. And what else can I say about that? Yes, the second biggest factor I think is this U.S. election uncertainty. And again, I emphasize this is not a political comment, but if Bush moves comfortably into the lead in the polls, we don't have that many days left, then I think that would also remove another headwind. Conversely, if Kerry moves into a lead in the polls or does appear neck and neck, that uncertainty may, well, would certainly act as a headwind for stock markets, regardless of what oil was doing until we got beyond the election. Once we get beyond the election, I think that there will be less uncertainties regarding the economy with Bush than there will be with Kerry, if only because that's not a political comment. It's just that people will not be exactly sure what Kerry's policies will be. Well, they won't be exactly sure what Bush's policies will be, but they'll be a little bit more confident about what his policies will be than perhaps what Kerry's might actually be. And some of the potential policies that Kerry has talked about may well be negative for stock markets in the short term, but I don't think it makes a great deal of difference over the longer term, as I've said before. So that's it. Biggest factor in terms of stock markets is that price of oil. Second, the election. And so where do I think or what do I think will actually happen? Well, my hunch is, as I say, that oil price is going to be, well, we will see that the oil price will see a short to, or will commence a short to medium term correction before the end of the year, and it may have already done so. And that will in that event, then I think that we would see a rally prior to year end. But that's the odds on this, 55, 45, and they might even be narrower than that right now, given the uncertainty over the election and the fact that we have not had a big downward dynamic for the price of crude. Okay. What else can I talk about here today? I said that oil had given up, I beg your pardon, that the U.S. stock market had given up some of those gains. It's currently near the lows of the day, with the Dow down 31, 7 on the S&P, about 5 on the NASDAQ Composite Index. Now that has lifted bonds. And also, the oil price currently down 27 cents now. It's rallied a little bit further. That's pushed bonds back up. They're currently at 13.12 on the December contract. I do have a short position there, a small short position, and I am looking to add to bonds, but I'm in no great hurry on this one. I do think this is the global bonds do not have much, government bonds, that is long dated, do not have much upside scope, as you know. Okay. Elsewhere, currencies. This is interesting. We've got a steady dollar, as I mentioned. I beg your pardon. Let me start over again. Currencies. We've got a soft dollar, steady euro. I had meant to say currently 125.17. The dollar is also down against the Japanese yen, 108.38. Now, the dollar is most definitely eroding support in here. I've said that I felt that this was a tradable move, whether you want to play it in currencies or whether you want to play it in some of the markets that would most respond to what's happening with the dollar. I've opted for the latter, but I think that it's a both are tradable. Well, what about the latter? In here today, we've got gold, not big gains, but currently 420.25. That's up 380 as I speak. Silver, which is my preferred vehicle, that's back up at 720. That's up over 21 cents here today. This is still in a consolidation phase, but the overall pattern Looks good. I chose to play this, as you may recall, this time around through the Silver Standard Resources. That's that share listed on the, I think it's on the New York Stock Exchange. With hindsight, which is always 20/20, it would have been better to buy the silver, which is normally my first inclination. I'm also playing the metals through the metals directly and that Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust. Now, in terms of the actual metal performances themselves, the LME tends to close earlier in the day and does not yet reflect some of the strength that we've seen in silver at any rate. We had about mixed performance here. But the metals after that earlier shakeout that we had had just after the London Metal Exchange dinner, they appear to be in what I've described as a sort of a little bit of a convalescence phase, which you often get after a sudden sell-off in marketplaces, in markets. People are understandably jittery for a while, and we're seeing that reflected in the in the industrial metals. But what tends to happen is, as long as they don't get another big hit on the downside, and I think they're unlikely to with the US dollar weakening, so as long as they don't get another big hit on the downside, then investors will be emboldened to move back into the sector. Now, one of the more interesting things that is happening here today is that soybeans, remember I've described these all these grains as being dirt cheap, soybeans had been very much the weakest until today. Over the last couple of weeks, wheat has been about the strongest, but soybeans are currently up 13 and a quarter as I speak at 5:28 on the November contract, which is about to expire. I've got some November soybeans, and I'll be rolling that position forward. Let's look at some of the others for you very quickly. The corn got down again to 202 and three quarters. That's near the lower side of its range, barring that one day on the 12th when the U.S. Department of Agriculture report came out, where corn briefly spiked below the $2 level and then bounced back. But corn is currently trading, this market is still open at 207, so that's up three on the day. Again, these markets, all they require really is a clear upward dynamic, I think, to unleash a wave of short covering. I do expect that sooner rather than later. And lastly, natural gas. I'd dearly love to see that go lower. Quietly steady in here. I'm no longer looking at the November contract, which is about to expire. I'm looking at the January contract, which is at 8.74. Quite steady, as I say, but if crude follows through on the downside, I think we'll see natural gas pulled a bit lower as well. And reactions, decent reactions in both those markets would get me interested again in terms of buying positions. With a pistol at my head, I'd probably be lightly short, but generally I don't find it rewarding. It's too risky, too dangerous to play the counter trend swings, so I'm not trying to do that. Okay, that's my wrap for this evening. Dow down 41. Have a very good evening.